The savings are scorching during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, everyday essentials, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at omahasteaks.com. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Today's discussion on Suffolk Matters will cover human trafficking, a serious and sensitive issue. We recognize that some listeners may find this topic distressing. If you or someone you know needs help, please reach out to the resources discussed today.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Sandra Lynn Alfano. She's joined by Stacy Caggiano. And Sandra Lynn is Youth Services Coordinator for Suffolk County. And before we get started, there's a number of things we want to get to today, some tough subjects, but we have some important contact information we want to put out for you guys, and we're going to do it again at the end of the show. But the Suffolk County Youth Bureau number is 631-853-8269. The suicide hotline response in Suffolk County is 631-751-7500. CPS hotline to report child abuse is 1-800-342-3720. The DSS Commissioner Response Unit is 631-854-9935 and 631-854-9936. For DSS Emergency Services, after hours, it's 631-854-9100. Hope for Youth Runaway and Homeless Youth Shelters has a 24-hour hotline at 516-659-0923. The Suffolk County 311 hotline for Suffolk County Informational Services is a non-emergency number, and that's 311. Just dial 311. You'll get non-emergency services and information. And obviously for police emergencies, dial 911. So, Sandra Lynn, let's just start a little bit in background here. Obviously, you know, lots to unpack here today. We're going to do so in a respectful and responsible way. We understand there's a diverse group of people listening here, but this is very important to get to. So before we get into, you know, your role, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, and how'd you come to work for Suffolk County?
So I've been a resident of Suffolk County for all of my life. I started my journey 25 years ago at the Department of Social Services. I worked in DSS Contracts Unit, where many AME employees work. And the intricate role there was to ensure that the contracts, in order to provide all of the necessary services to our residents, were executed so that the constituents can get those services. I subsequently went to DSS Commissioner's Office, where I worked hands in hands with the Chief Deputy Commissioner as well as the Commissioner of DSS. I played an intricate role there in combating different issues that happened at that time frame. During that time frame, it was a big push on SNAP applications, which was food for our constituents as well as shelters. There was a large gap in shelter services at that time.
Sure.
I then went to DSS, CPS, and I was not only a foster care worker, but I was also an adoption worker. So in foster care, I had 18 out of 22 months to try to heal the family that was assigned to me, and so that they could receive their children back in a healthy manner with services in place to foster the development of that family and to aid them and assist them. And then my role in the adoption unit was to find forever homes for those children who were legally up for adoption so that they could be a member of a family.
Yeah.
And that was actually extremely rewarding. It's probably one of the most touching things that you can experience. So then I went to Suffolk County Parks Department, and the Suffolk County Parks Department, I also did contracts. We have a multitude of different parks and services which we provide to our constituents. So again, the contracts in order to facilitate those projects were necessary. And then for 11 years, I went to the Suffolk County Law Department. And at the Suffolk County Law Department, at that point, I reviewed every contract that the entire county had before it went up to the county executive's office. So we just had to make sure that everything was in order. Then I fulfilled my role here currently at the Suffolk County Youth Bureau under the county executive's office, where I am the youth service coordinator. My role here is very diverse, and so we do, the unit itself does a multitude of things. So we not only provide almost 200 contract agencies for the public to utilize in services that range anywhere from mental health services to sports services, but we also try to look for trends and to preventive measures, which is one of the topics that we're here today to discuss, which is our, unfortunately, the situation that we're encountering with trafficked youth.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot, and that's a long and varied career. And throughout this, you know, and in addition to this, I guess you've also been involved with AME on your unit level. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you found yourself in every situation that you're in, you find yourself helping other people. And I think that's indicative of what a civil servant is. It's people that are looking, you know, they're altruistic by nature, and they are looking to help other people. And the work that you've done so far is so far-reaching and touches so many lives. So I want to thank you for, on top of all of the things you do for the residents of Suffolk County and everyone that comes here, maybe just for work or for leisure, all of these services, everything, and all those lives that you've touched through the work that you do, you know you're surrounded by good people who are also just everyday people looking to help people. I mean, that's the heart of what it is to be a civil servant.
Yes, thank you. And, during the course of all those years, everyone that I've encountered were AME members. They were dedicated. And whether they were on the front lines or they were behind the scenes trying to do their work so that Suffolk County can run, everybody was dedicated, and everybody has their role to play. And I don't know if people realize just how much these AME members are an intricate part of making sure that our society runs the way that it should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that is one of the reasons we're here in general, you know, why we do this radio show. We want to peek behind the curtains of government, but we also want to talk about the people behind that, the mm-hmm. everyday, you know, your friends, your family, your neighbors that are fulfilling this role. And so much of their personal identity is their work identity also. Mm-hmm. And it is the fact that they are out there helping, you know, again, we weren't kidding when we said essential services. Mm-hmm. And we saw how important essential services were in COVID, which was not that long ago. And we talked about frontline essential workers and how integral they were to propping up all of society, and it didn't take us very long to turn that all back into, you know, this new phrase of, you know, entry level work or whatever else, and using minimizing language to people that we know kept this country moving and kept this county moving during times of crisis. But it is that essential frontline AME worker, whether they're working behind the scenes, helping to prop up all the work that's going on, or you're front facing. Dealing directly with, you know, individuals and families and folks that are directly impacted by any given situation, is the fact that the public worker's identity is tied to the fact that they are altruistic by nature and there to help their community.
Oh, they really are dedicated. They're a dedicated, essential piece of Suffolk County. And I do think that our new county executive, Ed Romaine, really is backing our employees and does really have everyone's best interest at heart, not only the constituents, but also the employees, because I think he does realize that it is necessary for all of us to pull together in order to run this county.
Yeah, and we've had a number of good conversations along those lines. We'll see that in the salary study, going through all of the titles in Suffolk County to ensure that county government workers are paid a fair wage, that are able to not just live in Suffolk County, but survive and maybe thrive in Suffolk County. In addition to that, you know, there's contracts that have to be negotiated, and all of that stuff shows value back to the workforce. So, you know, public talking points are one thing. When things are in paper and signed and distributed and everybody knows, that's when you see value, right? So let's get into, you know, again, a tough topic. We're going to try and handle it with some sensitivity, but it's a real thing. Yeah. And again, you're talking about the county executive and you talk about the workers here in Suffolk County and collaboratively coming together and creating a first-in-the-nation program to deal with human trafficking. But, you know, real quick, I mean, how big of a problem is human trafficking in Suffolk County? You know, people don't necessarily, it's not the first thing they think of in the morning unless it's something that's impacted their lives, right? So, you know, what are we talking about here?
Well, unfortunately, we're talking about a paradigm shift that it's very difficult for people to really wrap their heads around that this is actually going on in their own homes. Sometimes this is going on next door. This could be going on in their families, you know, homes. This could be going on in their grandchildren's lives or the lives of their friends. It really touches everybody in Suffolk County, but I think it's such a tough, tough, heinous subject that people don't realize how close to home this is hitting and how many youth and women and children that this is actually affecting.
Yeah, it's disturbing to look at. And, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here so that you're not saying the wrong thing and say that this could happen to anybody, right? And so there are things that you conjure in your head and you say, okay, well, this is probably who's, you know, falling prey to these types of things. But it's any age group. It's any gender. It's any walk of life. Yeah. It is pervasive, right? And so let's dispel some of the myths around this.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, right out of the gate, does all human trafficking involve, you know, what we call sex work?
So, no, not all human trafficking is, you know, considered, I guess, with sex work, prostitution.
Right.
You know, this happens to children and they don't even sometimes realize it's happening to them because this person is promising them this great new bag or this wonderful life or is giving them some place to live or is showing them attention that they really need. And so it starts off that way. It's almost a grooming process. And until it continues and it kind of snowballs into a situation where this person is actually being sold for sex, for money. And sometimes these people are so bonded to these abusers that they do not realize that they're even being abused.
Right. You know, they are experts at seeing a need and feeding that need.
Yes.
And manipulating a human being to do what it is that they need. Now,
yes.
is it only young women and girls that are victim of the sex trafficking?
No, it is not. Unfortunately, it also affects males as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important to note that a lot of times, if not always, there's a multitude of dimensions of drugs that are being fed to these individuals in order to keep them in the position that they are, which is vulnerable.
Right. And you know, altering their mood and creating the need to be in that altered mood is part of the manipulation.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me ask it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, does trafficking exclusively involve moving, traveling, transporting a person from one place to somewhere else?
You know, I think that's a myth. I think that people may have in their mind's eye that means that, you know, someone is literally being taken from one area to the other, although that does happen. I'm not saying it doesn't. Right. But this can happen in your own backyard. And you know what? That child could be coming home at night. And, right. You know, at that moment, you don't realize that this is actually happening. Or you don't even realize that your child is being groomed for this to be, to happen to them. So it doesn't always necessarily mean that someone is being taken from one location to another, physically, you know, through states. It does happen.
Right.
But I think it's happening more in someone's backyard than they actually realize.
So, you know, again, you see it in TV, you see it in film, it's a plot device, and you see that, you know, kind of, you know, pick up that lure into the van that says candy on the side and whatever, and I'm kind of exaggerating to make the case, but it doesn't have to be that at all.
No.
And then, you know, I mean, do traffickers only go after people that they don't know?
You know, traffickers, they buy and sell children. They buy and sell women. They can be in, you know, gangs. They mm-hmm. can be doing this for their own personal gain. So I think, you know, it really varies. And unfortunately, what we see is that these individuals, sometimes they'll buy and sell people, and they'll keep them on drugs in order to continue that. And sometimes the trauma bonds of these people who are being abused is as such that these actual women or children are going out and recruiting for more children to be abused and succumb to the trafficker, because it is such an incredible and horrible bond that they have emotionally with this person that's abusing
yeah.
them.
Yeah, and we've all heard the phrase Stockholm Syndrome, and it's not too dissimilar in that you end up bonding with your trafficker so much so that you believe in their mission and you believe in helping them recruit. And sometimes that's, you know, the most insidious form is mm-hmm. when it's someone that looks like you, someone around your own age, someone mm-hmm. that behaves like you, maybe even someone you look up to
right.
that may actually be doing the recruiting. And you know, the monsters behind this are removed one or two steps. But
yes.
Well, let's talk about recognizing signs, because obviously these are all very concerning things, all very serious things. So what are some red flags and warning signs for people to look for, someone who might be a victim of trafficking?
Well, I would definitely take a look to see, you know, unfortunately, sometimes these people are branded. So you could see a multitude of different types of tattoos on these mm-hmm. individuals. It's claiming them for a particular person or entity, which is quite disturbing, but it is, it does happen. If someone has a lot of keys to maybe a hotel room, that's not going to be typical. That's going to be because they're in hotel rooms and they need keys to get in. That's going to be a red flag. If you see the emotional turmoil of a child, it really is important to get to the root cause, because it really can be something more serious. Or if you see your child's behavior changing and you are not aware of the individuals that they're encountering. And that could be on an adult level, or that could be on a friend level.
Right.
Because some of these children actually recruit in the mall, and they go out and they try to find these children who will befriend them. And then this is how the grooming process starts, and the grooming process starts literally through peer-to-peer.
Right.
So
very concerning, because some of this is normal human behavior, right? Adolescence, right. As you transition from being a kid to an adult, there is some pushback on authority and adult oversight, and it is a natural tendency. And so to confuse that with this, sometimes this is tricky. But, you know, if you see some of these warning signs and you have some suspicion, where do you go? What do you do? Right. You know, yeah. as somebody that has someone in your life that you love, that you're concerned is in this situation.
So if you see something, say something. I mean, we've been saying that since 9/11, right? I mean, I don't think it's changed any since then. It's really important to recognize signs and to say something if you see something. So we can go over those phone numbers again at the end, but
yes.
Certainly... you can reach out to the Suffolk County Youth Bureau, and we could put you in the right hands. If you feel that it's an abusive situation, because some of these situations do happen in respect to child abuse as well, and some unfortunate situations that we do see is that family members are trafficking their own children, brothers, sisters, and family members. That would be a phone number for the 1-800 number that I gave earlier for CPS,
sure.
for the emergency services number to report child abuse. So I definitely think that it's important to say something. If it's on a criminal level, certainly we can report that to the authorities on non-emergency number that we provided.
Sure.
So if you see something, say something. And I think preventative measures is always really key here, and that's one of the things that we strive to do at the Suffolk County Youth Bureau.
Sure.
Is we try to engage children in other avenues so they feel important, so they feel loved, so they feel heard, so they're in a safe environment. So they have a place to go after school, and they're not by themselves, and they're not left to their own devices. So they feel important, and they feel that they matter. And so we have an array of services that are available to children. And, you know, I'm not sure if the community realizes how hard the county executive's office works to provide those services through the Youth Bureau.
Yeah, I want to get into that. But just on that, you know, as best I can tell in any of the reading that I've done, one of the best defenses that parents can arm their kids with is self-respect and self-esteem.
Yes.
A child is not going to fall for certain things when they have respect for themselves, when they have esteem for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping an eye on their sense of self is very important for a parent. But Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine recently launched Operation Safe and Last Return, and it's a first-of-its-kind initiative across the nation. So let's just jump in right away. What is Operation Safe and Last Return?
So Operation Safe and Lasting Return is the first in its state, and it is also first in the country. It's a Suffolk County multidisciplinary response to Michigan high-risk youth. So it's multifaceted. The county executive, Ed Romaine's approach is to not work in silos. So this goes on that premise.
Right.
So basically, in order for Suffolk to work, we have to take all of our departments and all of our resources and work together in tandem in order to find missing and exploited children, in order to cut the lead time that we have in when we're trying to get our traffickers, trying to get our children back. We know that someone stole our children, and we're trying to get those children back. It's very, very important that we all work together in order to communicate and provide the information that would be vital in order to find those children. And so that's a really key factor in this program. This program has been presented to OCFS in New York State, which is the Office of Family and, the Office of Family and Children's Services. And they are the certification factor for not only foster care and DSS, but also for youth services with our homeless shelters for youth. They were very, very gracious, and the state gave us a first of its kind. It's a pilot program, and they're paying for the training, and it's called Project Harmony. Only two counties in the state of New York were issued this. One was Buffalo, and Suffolk County was the other, and it's Project Harmony. Now, what Project Harmony aims to do is they're going to be providing services to train key members of staff in order for the implementation and development of a triage system that we can utilize in order to find these children that are missing and exploited. And it is very important to try to find these missing and exploited children, because many times the reason why they're missing is because they're being trafficked.
Right.
So that's just one piece of the puzzle. Some of the other components are, it's a very comprehensive, coordinated response. That response, again, is to help the lead time. And we have a multidisciplinary response team involved in that. It ranges anywhere from the Child Advocacy Center to Family Court, to the District Attorney's Office, to the Suffolk County Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, the U.S. Marshals Department, DSS, the Youth Bureau. It is so multifaceted. So everyone touches this in some way in order to help these youth, which is very, very coordinated and very, very important. We have to sometimes do short-term respite safety for the child, as well as detox, because the children sometimes are very, very dependent on the drugs. So they have to detox, and that's an important part of the beginning of this process to heal, as well as get the psychotropic medications that are needed sometimes to deal with the mental health trauma that has been, unfortunately, a result of the situation that they've been in.
Yeah, and I want to remind our listeners, this is a tough topic to talk about, but we think it's very important that people understand and know what's going on, can help recognize the signs and have the resources to help
Obviously, the goal here is for this to never happen. And in order to get that to be the case, you've got to destroy that market. We've got to destroy that market by initiatives like this. So I thank you for sticking with us as we talk through this difficult subject matter. So how does the operation Safe and Last Return differ from previous approaches to human trafficking and dealing with human trafficking in Suffolk County?
Well, this is the first of its kind because we have dealt with human trafficking in Suffolk County, but it was in silos of certain departments working to assist these victims. And this approach is much different because we are not working in silos anymore under the county executive's initiative. What we are doing is working together. We're working hand in hand. So, you know, we will work with the sheriff's department who have many trafficked individuals in their care,
sure.
You know, to try to help them heal. And we'll work with all of our other partners to try to combat this. And it's important because we can't just take a look at this and only help one segment of the population and think that we're going to heal the population.
Right.
We have to work as a whole in tandem to address it. And that's why this differs. It also differs because it's such a tough topic that it has been very, very hard to approach because people really cannot imagine that this is happening in their backyards to their children. People cannot imagine that people could do such a thing to their children, to their grandchildren. And people really have a difficult time understanding that this could happen in their backyard. And it's not something that they're putting in their mind's eye that happens over there, but it doesn't happen here. It happens everywhere.
It happens everywhere. So with that said, let me read off some numbers for everybody again. It's very important that you take this down. This will be available on YouTube also on the Suffolk Matters page. We'll get you all those details. But you need to know to look for the signs. If you see something and you need to ask questions to figure out what's going on and how to help, the Suffolk County Youth Bureau number is 631-853-8269. The suicide hotline, the response in Suffolk County, 631-751-7500. CPS hotline to report child abuse, 1-800-342-3720. The DSS Commissioner's Response Unit, 631-854-9935 and 631-854-9936. The DSS Emergency Services After Hours Line, 631-854-9100. Hope for Youth, Runaway, and Homeless Youth Shelters. Their 24-hour hotline is 516-659-0923. Suffolk County Non-Emergency Informational Services, non-emergency number is 311. And obviously for emergencies, 911. Sandra, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk about this. I know it's not easy to work on. I know it's not easy to talk about. But sitting with everyone and working on this initiative here in Suffolk County, developing this First in the Nation program, removing the silos, getting everybody talking together, I hope that we can save so many people, prevent things from happening, and make things that are happening end that much sooner.
Well, I thank you very much. And the other one thing that I would like to mention that's different in this program than it is in many others is that there's a component in this program that is designed to push in services to the families because these children do have to be reunited in the families and the families need to heal.
Yeah.
So that is also a very, very important component to this program, that push in services be availed to those families when they're in need. So I thank you so much for this opportunity to bring light to the situation. It is a very tough topic for people to really wrap their heads around and to understand and to come to terms with. But there is help out there. And AME workers under the leadership of the county executive, Ed Romaine, are working very, very hard to try to find solutions to these problems and create a program that will help in the response of serving the youth of Suffolk County and those that are abused. and in protecting the children who need a voice and need help and need a situation where they can heal. And this is the beginning of that for them. And we really hope that we can reach as many people as possible to save them.
So my guest this morning, Sandra Lynn Alfano, and joined by Stacy Caggiano. Again, thank you. Tough topic, but I think necessary. And to our listeners, stay safe. Keep your eyes open. Teach your children self-respect and self-esteem. And we'll speak to you next week.